VBS theme and with the Williams family. They're some of our best friends. And we are from Colorado. My family is here. My daughter Remington and my son Tristan is getting baptized. And my husband Vance. And so we're just honored to be here and to share our story with you guys. And I grew up in Nebraska. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Nebraska, but it's in the Midwest. And I grew up on a farm, and really, our family didn't do any church at all. I didn't even have a Bible growing up in our family. There was really no rules, no Bible, no prayer, no anything. And so we just kind of grew up very worldly, and it was a very social family. My family was kind of part of the country club, and we had a lot of parties, and there was quite a bit of alcohol is what I really grew up with. It's pretty much every celebration, whether it was a birthday or an anniversary or Christmas, it was all really just a lot of alcohol all the time. So I just really grew up learning that no matter what, whether life was good or life was bad, my coping mechanism was to drink. And so I really just took all the burdens of life, and they were on myself. I could never really give them to anybody because I didn't know about God, and it was never explained to me anything about God. So fast forward a little bit. I grew up, went to college, and really kind of just looking for love in all the wrong places. Continued and accelerated that kind of partying, and graduated college, and my brother was accidentally killed in a car accident when I was about 30 years old, and I actually met my husband at the funeral. And so that was a really tough time in my life, and I really just started wondering, you know, where is God? Is there a God? And I really started searching at that time in my life. Fast forward to us getting married. When we got married, the very first time I was ever given a Bible was on my marriage. And so it was the first time I got to take a Bible, take it home, and begin reading it. And I remember the very first verse that really hit me. You know, you can read the Bible, and then all of a sudden something's like, bam, it just like really hits you and really hits your soul. And it was a promise. And kids, if you're out there, I know that you guys, some of you know this, but if you remember the word and count how many times I mention the word promises, then there's some candy in the back for you at the end. So make sure you count them. You have to get the right number. But the first verse that really hit me was in Genesis 9:12. And that was a promise, and it says, "And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come." And the sign of the rainbow was just awesome to me because it was a promise that he gave to everyone that he was no longer going to flood the earth anymore, and that was his promise that as he displayed that, the glory of God was displayed, and that was never going to happen again. And I just thought that was so cool because it was a promise that I never knew about, and it just really hit me. So that was the one thing that I just first learned when I opened up the Bible. A couple years of marriage went on, and we were still both drinking at that time, pretty codependent, lots of fighting. And I was really at that place in my life where it was my husband's job to make me happy. That's what I thought. I was like, it's my husband's job to make me happy. And as we know, that's impossible. And so you cannot do that that way. And so I was just still looking for hope and looking for change there. And I was sitting in a cabin one time in beautiful Beulah, Colorado, and again, just really tired of trying to fix myself. I had read all the self-help books that you possibly could, and I never could change. I tried to change, but I never could change because I was always trying it by myself. And this pastor on the television was really just talking about Jesus, and he was happy. And I was like, man, if I could just have some of that happiness that that guy has. And at the end of that, he just invited you to give your heart to Christ. And so I was sitting on the couch, and I like kind of looked around and make sure nobody was looking. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to surrender and give my life to Christ. And right there, I said the prayer. I invited Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior, and I invited him in my heart. And from that day forward, everything started to change for me. Everything. I had, he just began to reveal himself to me. I would run into people, and they would start talking about Jesus, or they'd tell a story about God, or I would read something, and I would start learning stuff. I would open up the Bible, and a new truth would keep coming, just a new truth all of the time. And through miracles of the Lord, I began to actually start going to church, and I started going and hopping around to many different churches. I call it kind of church hopping, but I couldn't quite find out which church that I wanted to go to. And so my family was like, okay, what's the next one? How long are you going to stay? And so I just kind of hopped around. But one day we were driving and we were on our way to Wyoming and we were on this back road and all of a sudden we saw something in the middle of the road. And I was like, stop, stop, there's something in the middle of the road. So my husband stops, we get out, and there's a book in the middle of the road. And so he gets it, and it's called The Sunday Law. And so that was just amazing to me because I started reading this book, and I actually learned about the Sabbath. And it was just so powerful, and it was like, boom, another one of those promises that I read that just really hit my soul. And that one is in Ezekiel 20:12. It says, moreover, I also give them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies thee. So I love that. It was another promise in the Bible that just really hit my soul. And I ended up finding Doug Batchelor on the television program. I started doing all of his Bible studies. And then I realized that Sabbath was actually connected to a church, which I didn't realize that in the beginning, that there was actually a church that honored the Sabbath. And so I started going to that church, and I got baptized. And then I found out that there was schools attached to the churches, like this Vacation Bible School that's going on. So it was just really powerful how the Lord just kept opening up one truth, after another promise. And it was amazing. And then we ended up moving to Loveland. So we were in Trinidad, Colorado at that time. And we ended up moving to Loveland. And that's where we met the Williams. And it was amazing. And they graciously invited us into their house. We lived with them for, a couple months? A year? Went by really fast. No, it was a couple of months. But they just showed us what a church family was like. They showed us how to honor the Sabbath, how to pray, really just how to pray. And they have been a blessing and best friends to us forever. And so right at that time in my life, I was just really kind of on cruise control. And you may experience that right now. Like you have a job and your marriage is in good shape and your kids are going to school and your finances are okay. And you're just kind of on cruise control and, you know, nothing is really hindering you at that time. And you just really kind of feel good about where you're at in life. And that's where I was 2 years ago. And then all of a sudden, one day, I woke up and I had a lump. I had a lump on my breast, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so at that time that I found that, I was really not that worried. I was kind of like, I'm just going to pray about it. I'll do some juicing, and I'll shrink it, and God will take care of it, and I'm not really going to worry about it. And what ended up happening during that period of time is it doubled in size and went from about 2 centimeters to 5 centimeters, and it was about the size of a small fist, and I needed to go get it taken out. And so I went into surgery, and I got a lumpectomy, and they called me back a few days later, and they said, we didn't get it all, and so you're going to have to come in maybe a little bit later, but before that, we want to scan you because we also found another spot on your sternum, and we think you should just scan your whole body and just see what's going on there. And so I said, you know, I just went home and I'm thinking, I don't really want to get a scan because I don't really want to know if I have any more cancer in my body. So I was very fearful, full of fear. And I just prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, you know, if you want me to go get a scan, you're going to have to tell me. And so that night, he gave me a dream. And watch what you pray for, because God will answer you immediately. And he showed me the scan. He said, you're going to be lit up like a Christmas tree from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. But do not worry, because I am the Lord that healeth thee. And that's what he told me in my dream before I even went to get the scan. And so Exodus 15:26 is another promise. I knew I had read that in the Bible, I am the Lord that healeth thee, so I had to find that. And he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And that was a promise that I held on to. And in May 2018, I went in for that scan, and it had metastasized to stage 4. I had it in my lymph nodes, in my liver, and I had 19 tumors all over my body and my bones, from the top of my head to the middle of my thigh. And it was eating away at my bones. I was beginning to get pain throughout my body, and I was beginning to get crippled. And I had 4 fractures, 2 in my neck, and 1 in my spine, and 1 in my thigh. And my husband even brought home a walker. And I cried all day when I got home and I got that diagnosis. They told me, you have 6 months to live. And so we went home and we cried and we were just really full of fear with those words that were spoken over us. And that was a Friday. And the very next day was Sabbath. And we went to church and the pastor was preaching on David and Goliath. And he said, you know, is anybody out there that has a Goliath in their life right now? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And I went home that day, and like I do many times, I take my Bible and I take my journal and I begin speaking to the Lord. And I just open up my Bible and I pray, and then I listen to what he tells me. And I write it down in my journal, and we just have a conversation in my journal. And, you know, the Lord had given David a rock. And I had just heard that sermon, and I was like, Lord, I said, I need that rock. I need you to give me a rock that will kill the enemy, that will kill the Philistine, that will allow me to gather, be in a new territory, a new season. And I needed that rock, and I was like, Lord, I need you to give me that rock. And in my mind, in my fleshly self, I was thinking he was going to reveal to me like a treatment or a center or an herb or some magical supernatural thing that was going to be my rock, right? And you know what he told me? He said, I am the rock. And I had heard David and Goliath 100 times, and I never had thought of the rock as Jesus, ever. And so it was just so huge. And in Matthew 7:24-27, it says, a wise man built his house. What kind of man?
A wise man
built his house upon a rock. And when the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Another promise that was in the Bible that I could hold on to. And, you know, Christ is the rock. And if we build our lives and we build our house on the rock, I was going to build my recovery on the rock. That's what I was going to build my recovery on. And we won't fear the storms if we have that rock in our lives. And from that day forward, I was set. I was set that I was going to follow the promises of God, and I was going to follow what he told me to do, and I knew he was going to heal me. And I got up the next day, and I told my husband, I said, that's it. We're rebuking those death sentence off my body. We're rebuking what that man said over my body. And, you know, God is true and every man a liar. And I was holding on to what God said, okay? God said that he heals us of all our diseases. He forgives us of all our sins and he heals us of all our diseases. Not some of our sins and some of our diseases, but all of our sins and all of our diseases. So I just held on to that, and the journey began. The journey began. I started standing on every single scripture. I looked up every single healing scripture that there was. At night, I would go onto YouTube, and I would listen to healing scriptures as I slept. I would get my 3x5 cards out, and I wrote them down on these, and I would just, every waking moment. You talk about praying without ceasing. That's what I did. I prayed without ceasing. I never stopped. I just read them over and over and over until my body and my mind began to respond to the new words. It was almost like I had to remake my thinking and rebuild the cells into ease. And the scripture that I held on to was John 11:4. I said it every single day, hundreds of times a day. This sickness will not be unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And I just kept saying it over and over and over again. And all of his healing promises. I used not all of conventional medicine. I used a combination, and I integrated both natural medicine along with some traditional medicine, and really focused on nutrition and detoxing. And I sought the Lord on everything that I did. I prayed about every single thing that I did, and I listened to my body. And I didn't do anything unless the Lord said I could. And that's what I did over and over and over again. And I was at the closest time I've ever been with the Lord was when I was going through that trial, because everything else went away. My career went away. I couldn't be a mom. I couldn't cook dinner. I couldn't do anything. I was in bed. Sometimes it would take me 15 minutes just to move my body, to shift positions, just to get out of bed because of the bones having to be rebuilt. And I just continue to use the word over and over and over again. And during that time, the Lord spoke to my husband, and he gave him a vision. He woke up in the middle of the night, and he gave him a vision, and the Lord told him, don't be a doubting Thomas. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Because there was fears going through his mind. What's going to happen if she dies and I have to raise the kids on my own? And he spoke to him, and it strengthened him so much that he began to speak over me, and he began to lay hands on me, and he began to just speak the healing promises over my body over and over. And we just kept believing. We kept believing. I said, in Genesis 32:26, Jacob talks about how, you know, I will not let you go until you bless me. And I just kept saying that. I said, I'm not going to let you go, Lord, until you heal me. I am not letting you go until you bless me. And I just kept believing and kept believing. Amen. And I had to do some emotional work too. Our bodies and our minds and our souls, we're a three-part being. We're not just flesh. So I had to let go of some things. I had to let go of some control issues. I had to let go of some anger issues. I had some things happen to me that were unfair when I was a child, and I had to let go of those things. I had to give those back to God, and I had to ask for forgiveness, and I also had to forgive those people that did things to me that were unfair. And I asked God, I said, God, why do I have cancer? Why me? Why do I have cancer? And he said, you have a lump of disappointments that you have stuffed inside instead of giving to me. And so I had to give all of those disappointments over the years back to him. And that's what I did. And during my recovery, I had to let go of old soul wounds, anger, And those were the things that were unfair, and just forgive. And I had to allow my body to come back into ease, okay? Just allow it to come back into ease. And there was times that I felt like dying, and I felt so much pain that I had to cry out to the Lord, and He would remove the pain from me. He would lift the pain off of my body when I cried out to Him. And when the enemy would try to discourage me and tempt me and give me words of discouragement, I would just start singing. I would just start singing and do the opposite of what I was feeling. Yeah, start singing, joy, 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 down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. That's what I just kept singing and singing and singing. And that's where Psalms 103:3 came in. He says, Lord, You forgive us of all our sins and heal us of all our diseases. And I am proclaiming that. I am proclaiming it. And this is what's awesome of all the promises, is the Lord cannot lie. His promises are true, and they cannot return void, okay? So as you speak them, they are going out into the ethers, up into the heavens, and they're being answered. Yes. They're not being answered in the time that you want, but the time that God wants. And He's going to bring people, whether it's a doctor or a nurse or a family member, and He's going to customize each person's healing. It's not always going to be the same. But Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. So He has to heal me. He has to heal me, because that's what His word says. He has to. And I held on to that. And pretty soon, one day out of the week, I was better. And then another week would go by, and I'd have one good day and five bad days, six bad days. Then I'd have two good days and four bad days. And then I'd have three good days. And it became over and over until pretty soon my last scan, which was 90 days ago, 18 of the 19 tumors are gone. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the last one is shrinking. It's shrinking right now. I'm still doing treatment, still recovering. And Romans 2:11 says, God is no respecter of persons. So what He has done for me, yes, He will also do for you. Amen. He will also do for you. I am not special. I am just a daughter of God. I am a child of God that believed God. I believed all of His healing promises, and I never let go of them until He healed me. Amen? Amen? And God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And if you seek Him in all you do, He will set you free. Amen. Amen. Thank you.